promise and the law. What sequence did they come in? Well, let's always go to His Word and find out, okay? But let me give you a little clue. The promise came 430 years before the law ever came into being. Okay. So which is the more important? Well, our Father always knows what we need most. And that promise was Christ, of course. But let's go to the Word where it was issued and let us learn a lesson that even pertains to this hour, this time, this season. Chapter 12, the great book of Genesis. Let's pick it up with verse 1, where the promise was made. Long before Abraham was called Abraham, his name was Abram. And before Sarah was called Sarah, her name was Sarai. Okay. But after the promise, the names were changed for a reason. The definition and meaning of the name. Chapter 12, verse 1, great book of Genesis. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, this being Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, what you want to remember is when things go contrary to God's word, get out. Okay. You don't want anything to do with it. Okay. It could even have to do with old friendships. Okay. The things they participate in that you no longer do. Why? Because you know the promise. But sometimes you have to get out. Mainly you get out of confusion. You get out of Babylon, which is confusion. Verse 2, and I will, not maybe, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, if you were to pick out of all the nations in the world today, which would you pick for a great nation? Okay. And where would you find Abraham's people? It's pretty, God doesn't lie. You have to look at facts, okay? It's not that difficult to trace nor to know. And then you understand why we say when you pull a coin out of your pocket, in God we trust. Okay. It's not an accident. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Not just the children of Abraham, not just the offspring of Israel, but all peoples, everywhere. Why? Because Father is the God of all. Okay. But what would come through Abraham, the same that was promised as through Eve, to make her the mother of all living, for there's only one life, and that's life eternal, because through her would come Christ, which is to say Messiah. And this promise hinged on Christ that would come through this lineage and be a blessing to all people. Now, we'll stop in 12 there, and I want you to go to 17. Chapter 17, same book. 17, verse 1, and it reads, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, he was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. This word perfect is sincere or mature. When you're a Christian, you should be mature. You should think with maturity. I don't care how old you are. When you come into the promise, it matures you. You know that Father's in charge. He's in control. And certainly but did Abraham give up? I mean, he was promised that he was given that promise when he was 75. It's several years later and it hasn't happened. But did he give up? Answer, no. Well, how much patience do you have? Yeah, I just want it now. Oh, well, do you? Well, just get that out of your system, okay? Your father's still on the throne. He knows when it's the right time for you. Be patient. Trust Him. He made the promise. The promise is sure. The promise was made long before the law. Okay. Verse 2. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. You're going to be a great nation. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, For as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. That means of all people, a blessing to all people. Why? Because through him would come Christ, of course. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram. High father is what Abram means, okay? But thy name shall be called Abraham, which means being interpreted. Well, let's see if it does it for. For a father of many nations have I made thee. That is the interpretation of father of many nations. When you say Abraham in the Hebrew tongue, that's what you're saying. Father of many nations, because through him would come the promise. Christ. Okay. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And from that nation, Jeremiah took three of those daughters with him, two of them especially. One of them's name was Scotha. And Scotha married and settled down, and from that queen came Scotland. That's why Scotland is named Scotland, because Scotha founded it, was a daughter of Zedekiah, of the kings and the queens of God's people. Okay. And that's why we have the kingship even in the world today. The first responsibility of the Queen of England is protector of the faith. What's that? The word. The promise. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, and for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, to thy seed after thee. And so it is. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting. How long is that? Everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And so he is. Don't ever try to let somebody run him from your family. Because the promise was 430 years before the very law even came into being. So for your information, in case you didn't know, skip to verse 19 and find what God named Sarai. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And of course, Isaac means laughter. Not because Sarah laughed, she was 90 years old. When God said, you're going to have a baby. Okay. And she laughed, and it made her real nervous because she would be questioned on this later. And so it was nervous laughter. She'd always wanted a child of her own. And naturally, it was through embarrassment that the child was named Laughter. And so it was. Now, let's skip on, if we may, to the 18th chapter. Chapter 18. I want you to really sharpen up for me. Our Father is the same yesterday, he is today, and he will be forever. Okay. He doesn't change. His word doesn't change. Mark 13, times will change, but God's word will never change. He's our Father, and he never changes. So I want to pick it up here, if we may, in this 18th chapter. And it kind of applies to what's happening today in relationship to that promise. And it's what God's children should do when they know and understand. And as you come into the sincerity, the maturity, then you know what to ask for. Verse 13 of chapter 18. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? 90 years old. Abraham was 99. Okay. 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So it is. Don't ever discount your father. He's on the throne. He's in charge. Be patient. Claim the promise over the law even. Okay. Because it was made first. But know what the promise was. Okay. Verse 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. She was nervous, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Okay. That's what they named the boy. Okay. 16, and the men rose up from, these are angels with the angel of God with them. Okay. They come for a purpose. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. It's, you know, he said, sure, I'll show you how to get over to Sodom tomorrow. Okay. And they're here on a mission. But I want you to mature for me and know the law hasn't been given yet. How could there be a law that would Sodom and Gomorrah would be breaking? It's called the law of nature. Okay. And don't ever forget it. That's why they are here, and that's why they were destroyed. Verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? He's righteous. He's tender. I don't want to shock him with what's going on over there. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. This means through Christ, of course. You understand? Through Christ's coming. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do just and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. I want you to know one thing. You can pass all the laws you want to. It will never compare to the promise because people will break laws. You know, pass a law that you can't carry guns in our schools today. Pass laws that you cast God's word out of schools. You can't pray, you can't say it. You know, well, kids are still going to pray even to themselves. And kids are still going to bring guns to school because God has been cast out. But laws do no good when it comes to totally depending upon them. It takes those that are righteous and that follow the promise, because if one has the promise, they don't break the law. The law is good. But the important thing for you to note, God keeps up with what's happening here on earth, and do not think for a moment he has his eyes shut to today. He's watching. But what gets his attention? Well, listen and learn. Okay. Listen and learn. Verse 19. Let's read it again. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. They'll be disciplined, in other words. Verse 20. For the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. For the law hasn't been committed. Again, what is it? The law of nature. You should just know better. Okay. By nature itself, the way God created you. Verse 21. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me. And if not, I will know. It doesn't hurt you to pray to the Father about what's happening in this world. The actions of Sodom and Gomorrah brought God down. You know what will bring him down again? If that kind of stuff continues. You keep casting God out of schools, next it'll be churches, okay, certain churches. And then it'll be Sodom and Gomorrah all over the place, even in law. God will not tolerate it. Okay. He will come down. But, you know, what does he listen to? Righteous people's cry. You got it? That's why this whole message is. Righteous people cry to him. And he hears. Verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Well, we know what happened there. God destroyed it, all but Lot, righteous Lot, and his two daughters, okay? But so it is. But the important thing in this lecture is the promise came a long time before the law. And the promise is what is most important. Because, again, I will say it one more time. You can pass all the laws you want to, people are going to break them if they don't have the promise, which is the discipline and the love from Almighty God that teaches them that it is right, that it is righteous. Well, what are ye like without the promise? Heathen? What is a heathen? It's a non-believer. Okay. In the promise. And that's what separates those who are blessed and those who are not. Abraham is blessed because God blessed him and promised from the beginning. And that promise cannot be disannulled. That's something else this lecture is about. When God gives his word, you cannot disannul it. When he made that promise, for those that stay disciplined and stay in the promise, they will be blessed. And not only will they be blessed, they will be a blessing to others they come in contact with. Why? They've got the answers. They have the truth. And the truth always sets you free. Let's go to the New Testament. Go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Who has hypnotized you? How could you have gone so far away from the promise? So far away from the truth. Verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Let's just say the hearing of the promise. Which did you learn by? And this means you'll have legalists and you'll have people of faith who always go the legal way. Let me say that again, because a lot of people really get off track right here. They think by faith you can neglect the law. You can't. Okay, the law is a schoolmaster. But if you are of the promise, you want to do what's legal. That's simply to say what's right, as long as the law is right. Okay. Verse 3, are ye so foolish? I could even make this a little stronger. Are you crazy? Having begun in the Spirit, I mean, you were blessed. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Do you think the law being of the flesh and the law written to the flesh, do you think it's going to make you, do you think some law is going to make you perfect? You know, a person that has the promise and the love of Christ in them, they really, by nature, they don't need the law to know what to do right. Okay. Though there's no harm in knowing law. Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain? He said, are you going to throw away all that you've gained? He said, I can hardly believe this. Here you had the promise, and you're throwing it away for legalism. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law, or by hearing the faith? In other words, did Christ heal the blind man by the law, or by spiritual faith in the promise? And when you ask a healing even today in His name, and it is given, do you think it's done by the law? Of course not. It's done by the promise of Almighty God. Okay. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. I mean, Christ hadn't died on the cross yet. Christ hadn't even appeared yet. He did appear to Abraham as Melchizedek. Different story for a different time. Melchizedek, king of righteousness. There's only one king of kings, all right? Enough said. But he did what was right. Why? Listen to it carefully, because he had the promise. And he believed the promise. When you believe that promise, which is Christ, you know what is right without the aid of the law. Okay. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, or the promise, the same are the children of Abraham. And what was that written? It was promised by God. They'll always be blessed and be a blessing to everybody they come in contact with. Are you? If you're steeped in the promise, it's true. It fits. It never alters, and it never changes. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that's non-believers through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. They were all blessed through the promise. We just read it, okay, in the great book of Genesis. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And that's the way you want to keep it, beloved. Christ died on the cross for you, fulfilling that promise. And that raises you above the law, not as a lawbreaker, but knowing better than to break the law. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, if you expect the law to save you, you cannot break one of them. And nobody living in these flesh bodies can muster that. Okay, you're going to break some of them. And that's why you have to have repentance through the promise. Got it? But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Okay. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, not one slip, buddy. I mean, you break, if you're going to live in the law, I'll be a law-abiding citizen. You better be a Christian first, okay? You better be a person of the promise first. And then you don't even have to worry about the law, because you're going to want to do what's right, okay? And have the blessings of God at the same time. Everything you touch, He'll bless, unless it's something He wants you to learn a lesson the hard way. Because there are some things He makes us work for it, because He doesn't like hothouse lilies. He doesn't like wimps. He wants people that can get it done, cut it, can do. Okay. And He'll do the rest. If you understand that, He'll do the rest. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, Deuteronomy 21:23. He suffered that so that He would be the blood sacrifice for one and all times, but the main thing He did it for was to destroy death, which is to say the devil. You can document that in Hebrews 2:14. Okay. That was the purpose He died on the cross for, was to destroy death, which is to say the devil. and to fulfill the promise, protecting you. 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It was so that it was open to everyone, whomsoever would. Who was that now? 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth to it. I want you to understand a Greek word here. If it's confirmed, this is by man, not God. It is the Greek word kerura, okay, which means it's a contract. And once it's said in ink, it shouldn't be broken, even if it's of man. But we're going to go to one that is higher, which is one made by God, not just man. Okay. Big difference. He said, you will respect even a confirmed agreement or handshake or signed contract with another human being. Again, I will tell you there is one greater. 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That takes away any doubts you might have had. That's what we're talking about. The promise is Christ himself, who mediates for us when we're in trouble, when we need help, to fulfill the promise that you'll always be blessed if you're in the promise. Verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed, there's that word again, only it's a different word, okay, that was confirmed before of God. Who was it signed by? Who was that contract put in effect by? God, your heavenly Father, in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Nothing can change that promise. You hang on to it. The word confirmed here is pro, added to karua. Pro means from before. Way before the law, way before anything else, God wanted you to have that blessing, and he signed it. It was pre-signed by a supreme being that as long as you live, you can count on that promise being in effect, and no man, no person, no demon can ever change that prohua, which is to say the confirmation and the fact that God put it in motion, and so it stays unchangeable. But the important thing for you, I mean, you should take comfort in the word pro, because God knew, and even before the law came into being, he made this promise of a surety for those that would follow him, that would please him, that would accept Christ, that would follow Christ and be blessed and be able to carry their weight in defeating that that is against God, as a good Christian should always be willing to do, to set the standard sincerely, that is to say maturely, to see the reason, to know what's right and to know what's wrong, to joy with what is right and to shun as best as possible that is wrong, to accomplish God's work. There will never be a better promise than prokruo, signed, made positive by Almighty God before the fact. And it's its supreme authority. You don't go any higher than supreme authority, signed by him. Do you know who it was signed for? It was signed for you. It includes you. If you are of that promise, if you will hang on to that promise, again, I want to tell you, you can write all the laws you want to. Man will break them. But when one accepts the promise and hangs on to it in their heart, mind, body, and soul, their best they can, they're not going to break that law. But this is why that in this troubled world today, when you see people breaking that is natural, you cry to the Father. You talk to Him. It'll bring Him down. Always has. It always will. And we're coming to that place. You might say, well, I thought the Holy Spirit was with us always. It is, but sometimes He comes as action. And it's about that time. So don't forget it, especially in your life, okay? Because your life needs to be blessed at this time. We got some tough sailing ahead of us. Does that worry us? No. We can cut it. Okay. Hey, bring it on. We can cut it. You know why? Because He's on the throne. He's right there. Christ is right at the right hand of God. And He's not there as an advocate between God, you and God. But He's there as an advocate between you and the world when it tries to cross you. But He takes care of you if you claim the promise, if you're in the promise. Again, I want to instill it in your mind. The promise was made 430 years before the law ever came into being. And I'll reiterate again, well then, if the law hadn't been written yet, why was God so upset about Sodom and Gomorrah? If you would ask me that question, I would wonder about you. Because it's natural, and what is natural? God created your body, okay? And He gave you a mind. And you know what is right and what is wrong in the natural sense. So, again, the promise is so precious. It so outweighs the law. And yet the law is not bad. Don't ever let anyone try to tell you that the law is bad. It isn't, okay? But the promise comes first. It was pro. It was before. Meaning it's the most important in God's eyes for you. Okay. So God signed that Himself. You will find it, and I would recommend that you take the word confirmed as it is in the English here and check it out in your Strong's Concordance and have a good time. Okay. Enjoy it. Realize the depth and the understanding of prokura. Oh, okay. Verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Don't ever forget it. Okay. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. I mean, this was no small time thing. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And that's Emmanuel, God with us. Got it? Is the law then against the promises of God? Good question. God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Law can't cut it. Okay. Well, there's no spiritual emotion there. There's no walk with God. There's not the touch of the Holy Spirit in your life to warm your heart and to guide you, to never leave you nor forsake you. I don't care what kind of trouble you're in. To walk with you. That's His promise. He will never, as long as you don't let Him down, He will never, never let you down. Verse 22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That there's a qualifier there. Do you believe that Christ was Emmanuel, the Son of God that walked with us? Do you believe that He was the Word that became flesh and walked among us? He was. He was the living Word. Then you fall under that category of the promise. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed at His coming, of course. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. In other words, Christ made it possible that when you broke a law, you said, I'm sorry. I really messed up. I know you all never mess up, do you? Sometimes I do, okay? Sometimes I got to go to Him and say, Father, I don't know what I was thinking about. Please forgive me. Do you know something? He always has. And He's always give you a big hug and love you when you truly mean it. And then He starts watching over you again, takes you back into the brood, and He will use you. That's why the promise is ever, ever so important. And that's why the law itself is a schoolmaster. It keeps you out of trouble. And you might say, well, how could the law possibly keep you out of trouble? Well, let's see. Thou shalt not steal. It's good advice. You know? Real good advice. Okay, because if you break that, guess what? You're in trouble. Okay, and so the law, don't ever knock the law. Some people have to have it. But again, I want to say, if you have the promise, you're not tempted that much. And that promise rises you above and blesses you. The promise was 430 years before the law ever came into being. And, you know, I might just remind you, what happened when the law was given? Where was the law given? Well, Moses went up Mount Sinai. He was up there the days of probation. That's 40. 40 means probation. Do you know what the children were doing down at the bottom of the hill? They took all the gold, melted it, and made them a golden calf and started worshiping it. We're in a regular orgy down there. While the law was being given, concluding the promise at the top of Sinai, or pretty near it. So, you know, the law really doesn't do it by itself. But the promise makes you a better person. It makes you a wonderful person. But we needed that schoolmaster. That's why when God brought those tablets down, when Moses brought those tablets down from God at Sinai, he threw them and broke them because of what was happening. But God, again, He worked it out. And one generation paid heavily for it. To continue now, 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. What? Because you rise above it. Okay. You might say, well, you mean it makes the law of none effect? No, it's still there. It's just you're not going to break it. Okay. For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He is in you, and you are in Him. That was the promise He made concerning the Holy Spirit. He said, I go away, but don't worry, I will send you a comforter, as it's written in John 14. That comforter will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And do you know why they called Him the comforter? Because He comforts your heart. He comforts you when you're in trouble. He helps you out of trouble. Do you know why? Because He loves you. He really, truly loves you. Now, don't ever be disappointed if you kind of broke one of them and He practices a little tough love on you. Just thank Him, kiss the paddle, and get cracking, okay? Because He only punishes those He loves. Okay? And He expects the best out of you, so He kind of nudges you sometimes. And sometimes that nudge can be a little, you know, right there down to business. He loves you. love him back and be blessed. Okay. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now wait a minute, the preacher told me women couldn't participate in a lot of things. Well, let's go by what God says and forget about preachers that would say something like that, okay? He said there's no difference when it comes to the promise between men and women, between this race or that race. The promise is for all. The Holy Spirit is for all. The Holy Spirit loves. For you see, there's not a person that has a heart beating that isn't a child of God. And you know something? If you ever read Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, you'll get these people who say, you need to get around to giving your soul to God. I got some bad news for them. Ezekiel 18, 4 says, God owns all the souls. Well, he created them. They're his children. He's got them. So you don't get around to giving yourself to him. He's got you. The question is, are you in him and he is in you? That promise, that union, when you accept him, he comes to you. It's not an idle promise. That's why we're covering this promise today. It isn't idle. He can change your life. He can change your family. He can change your very soul into knowing the very important things in life is to help our people that are so misled at this time. All over the world. May he hear the cry of the people of the promise to know that we are disdained by some of the things that transpire in this world today. To complete this chapter, verse 29, and if, you know, that's a big old word, that if, there's a condition there, it means you got to meet it. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That promise that we've been talking about applies to you. If you believe in Christ, if you love that comforter, if you love him, follow him. Well, how do I know what to do? He sent you a letter right here telling you how to be happy in these flesh bodies. And that promise, 430 years before the law, he saw fit to say, I think you're worth it. If you'll believe upon me, if you'll follow this promise, I'm even going to put it further than that. I'm going to make it unchangeable. Man cannot alter it. It's set in a supreme way. Get into that promise. Love him for it. And know that he loves us. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the promise. Thank you, Father, for the law, but the promise that exceeds that law, Father. The promise in our hearts, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we always follow him, and may he always watch over these, and through that promise that these be a blessing to all they come in contact with the real, true word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.